It is a real joy to see each and every one of you tonight. Good to hear your prayers. And on my part, it's a real privilege, a humbling experience to open the Word. May it be a blessing to you. A year ago, I was having an operation, and when I heard that saints at Spanish Wells were praying for me, I was greatly encouraged. And everything came out well. There are so many things to praise the Lord for, but there is always so much that keeps us upon our knees. And we need to pray more and more. I have a feeling that we have entered into the last days of the church's testimony on earth. And people need to pray. They need to pray in England where they're having a pestilence, or at least the threat of one. They need to pray in the United States and Canada, where there looms a very severe energy crisis. People need to pray and turn to God, because on the horizon, as we were reminded in Brother Frank Perry's prayer, there is the great tribulation, the day of the Lord, and hallelujah, we're going to be taken out before it happens. Next Sunday morning, I'll be speaking at the Sunday school on the subject of Israel, the sixfold miracle of modern Israel. We spoke on that this past Lord's Day. On Sunday night, Lord willing, I'll be speaking about heaven. And then next Tuesday, I'll be reminiscing somewhat with our message about my time here at Spanish Wells. I believe it was 50 years ago this spring that I first came to this lovely island. And the blessings have been many, not only for me, but for my family. I thank God for you all. Now tonight I'd like to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to be speaking about weary pilgrims almost home, or just make it almost home. Peter, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes two epistles that are included in the Bible. They are 1st and 2nd Peter. In 2nd Peter, we have sleeping saints. And as a result, false teachers, enemies of the gospel, creep in. In 1st Peter, we have suffering saints. And they were undergoing great persecution. Quite a number of persecutions broke out against the church in those first few centuries. And during the 60s, when Paul and probably Peter were both martyred, there was a great persecution under Nero, the emperor of Rome. And so this epistle is written in the atmosphere of suffering to those who were scattered abroad and who were seeking to live for the Lord in spite of the opposition. Chapter 1, verse 1, where it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And then notice at the end of verse 17, in that same chapter, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Then I noticed the Apostle Peter refers to these Christians as obedient children, newborn babes, and so forth. And in chapter 2, verse 5, as living stones. But that is true of all Christians. We are living stones in the temple of God. And some of us are gladstones. Then in verse 5, He reminds them that they are a holy priesthood, and in verse 9, a royal priesthood. That is the Godward aspect of our priesthood and the manward aspect. I remember a man of God was once asked if he was an out-and-out Christian. He said, I don't know about that, but I try to be an in-and-out Christian. And what he meant by that is every day he sought to go in to the presence of God and lift up the praise of sacrifice and then go out amongst men as a royal priest and proclaim his excellencies. So we should every day be in and out Christians. Now our text is in chapter 2, verse 11. I'd like to read a few verses after it as well. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from worldly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation or manner of living honest among the Gentiles, that, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. I read that word submit, and I noticed in this epistle that saints are to submit to governing powers. Slaves are to submit to their masters. Wives are to submit to their husbands. And their husbands should be loving and kind. And the younger should submit to the older. That 11th verse is our text. And I'd like to read it from another version, which says, Dearly beloved, you are only visitors here, since your real home is in heaven. I beg you to keep away from the evil pleasures of this world. They are not for you. They war against your soul. Yes, there are harmful pleasures in this world. They are lustful pleasures. But thank God there are lawful pleasures, something that we can delight in. And hallelujah, there are lasting pleasures. The psalmist said, At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Now, some definitions. In the scripture, we read of vagabonds. A vagabond is one who has no certain dwelling place, no home. Sometimes in the States, I see old men going down the highway, bent over, beards, and carrying a heavy sack, probably all their belongings. They have no home, and my heart goes out in pity toward them. But think of all those who have no spiritual home, no heaven to go to. Oh, how we ought to have a compassion for those who are lost. The Lord looked upon the crowd in his day and had compassion upon them because they were a sheep not having a shepherd. And I have written by that verse in Matthew, Let me look on the crowd as my Savior did till my eyes grow dim with tears. Let me view with pity the wandering sheep and love them for love of him. As someone said that the church has lost its love for the lost. I don't believe that, but we certainly need more concern. So a vagabond is one who has no home. A stranger is one who has a home, but he is away from home in a foreign land. And a pilgrim is on his way home. You get that? A vagabond, no home, a stranger, away from home, a pilgrim on the way home. Now, I'd like to use a little outline here. First of all, who are the strangers and pilgrims? Secondly, what are they doing in this world? Thirdly, where are we going? First of all, who are the strangers and pilgrims? You know the answer to that. Those who are real Christians, those who are believers, those who have accepted the Lord Jesus as their Savior, and who are born again, members of the family of God. We are the strangers and pilgrims. Now, what is a stranger? It is one who is away from home in a foreign land. Sometimes we call them aliens or immigrants or foreigners or even tourists. My wife and I live in America, and we're over here in the Bahamas as tourists. We are citizens of heaven, and in this world we are strangers. Now, what is a pilgrim? But before we go to that, I want to mention that I was once an alien in the United States. I was born in Canada. My family brought me down to the United States. My father died, and I never became a citizen. Then World War II came along, and I was called up. And as I mentioned Sunday night, I volunteered for the parachute troops, and I was put in the All-American Division. During World War I, they found out everybody in that division was from one of the states. But they were all Americans, they said, and that nickname stuck, All Americans. Well, they were chosen to be the first parachute division in the U.S. Army in World War II, and they were called the All Americans, and I was in the division, and I wasn't even an American. I was an alien. In fact, I told somebody the other day that in 1946, I was a citizen of three countries. In January, I was a citizen of Canada. Then I became a citizen of the USA, and praise God, in June, I became a citizen of heaven. Hallelujah. And that's the best one of all. Now, pilgrims. A pilgrim is one who is on his way home. And we are day by day traveling toward our home, which is heaven. We've often used the expression, at the end of a day, we are a day's march nearer home. Now, I have taken funerals, and I might make a statement like this. Brother Jones trusted the Lord in July of 1960, and when he did so, he became a pilgrim in this world. Last Tuesday, he came to the end of his journey, and he arrived home. The scripture says we are absent from the body, at home with the Lord when we die. By the way, there are no souls in the cemetery. Bodies only. A soul either goes to heaven or somewhere else. Then, I remember a funeral I had where this saint's body was in the casket, and they had a floral wreath on top of the casket, and there was always a large ribbon that would say, Beloved Mother or Dear Mother or something like that. I looked on this occasion, and it said, Gone home. That was something the deceased requested. So everyone who came to that funeral saw those words that this dear one had gone home. Now, what are we who are strangers and pilgrims in this world doing here? First of all, we are passing through. I like that little chorus that goes something like this. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's golden shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Well, we're just passing through, but while we pass through, we should look like pilgrims. I don't mean that we should dress up in black and white. We should not be gaudy or sloppy. We should be neat. But we should look like pilgrims with our countenance. If we have a long, sad face all the time, that's not a pilgrim. But if our countenances reflect joy and peace, we are beginning to look like Christians. And then we should talk like Christians. We shouldn't just talk about worldly things all the time, but talk about the Lord and the things he has done for us and the blessings we enjoy and share things with one another. We should talk like Christians, and we should walk like pilgrims. That is, we shouldn't follow the Lord's ways in different things, but we should walk like a pilgrim, and we should act like a pilgrim. If somebody does us harm, do we strike back like the world might? No, we turn the other cheek. Oh, there's so many ways in which we can be characterized by love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and so forth, and thus show that we are Christians. So first of all, we are passing through this world. Secondly, we are submitting to the laws of the land in which we dwell. Now, I can't come over here from the United States and say, I'm an American, so I'm not going to obey the laws here. I can't do that. And we can't say we are citizens of heaven and we're not going to obey the laws in the Bahamas. We submit to the law. Of course, if the lower law conflicts with the higher law, if they ask us to worship the king of the land or something like that, we refuse. We say, like Peter, we ought to obey God rather than men. I remember at Emmaus Bible School, and by the way, I went to school with Frank Perry some 50 years ago, and Hesketh Johnson and Ed Allen, and we had some wonderful times. But I remember one student, he was on a train going from Detroit to Toronto, and they used to have immigration officers aboard the train, and their question was always, what country are you a citizen of? And this Emmaus student wanted a witness for the Lord. So he said, I'm a citizen of heaven. Well, that didn't go over very well with the immigration officer. In fact, they asked me that question now. Say, I'm going to enter Canada. They'll say, what country are you a citizen of? I say, I'm a citizen of the United States, but I must be honest and tell you also that I'm a citizen of heaven. Then I remember two friends of mine were up in Minnesota, and they were fishing and living in a tent at a campfire, and they decided that they would go up into Canada. So they struck their tent and loaded their station wagon, and one of them, he was sort of an odd fellow, he said, I like this log we've been sitting on. Let's take it with us. And so they tied it on top of the station wagon. When they went into Canada, they cleared customs and immigration. But just as they're about to pass into the country, the officer said, by the way, why do you have that log on top of your station wagon? And this fellow said, we're going to manufacture toothpicks in Canada. Well, they had to take the log off. Anyway, our point is we should submit to the Lord, to the law, and the authorities, and be respectful. Thirdly, we, as we are passing through this land, are ambassadors. We are ambassadors for Christ, and we represent heaven's interests here on earth. And heaven's great concern is for sinners to be saved. And so we should be witnesses giving out the gospel, proclaiming the gospel with our lives, our lips, our looks. And thus we are evangelists proclaiming the good news, inviting people to join our happy band and go to heaven. And then we are soldiers while we are pilgrims. We are in a great conflict. We have an infernal enemy in the devil. We have an external enemy in the world. We have an internal enemy in the flesh. Thank God we have no eternal enemy. But this threefold enemy demands that we fight the good fight of faith. And here the Apostle Peter says, he refers to the enemy, the world, and we don't mean that by that the people or the planet itself, but the world system which is against God. We should not be conformed to that system in our standards, our pleasures, our behavior in any way. We should abstain from fleshly lusts, as Peter tells us, because they war against the soul. A boat belongs in the water. Water doesn't belong in the boat. A Christian is in the world, but the world does not belong in the Christian. So let us recognize this enemy, the world system, and abstain from its pleasures. Then we are not only soldiers in a great fight, but we become weary on this journey and discouraged. Pilgrims have a rough journey as we get saved and start to go to heaven. We have lots of ups and downs and twists and turns. We even feel perhaps the fiery darts of the wicked one from time to time, and we grow weary. Well, we have, thank God, the cross of the Lord Jesus to rest beneath. And then we have the privilege of prayer, and God strengthens us through prayer, through the reading of His Word, and we need not be weary. And then we shouldn't be discouraged. Most Christians get discouraged at one time or other. I remember a man of God, Alfred P. Gibbs, I think he was over here many years ago. I said to him, "Brother Gibbs, don't you ever get discouraged?" And he says, "Oh yes, Brother Fred, but I try to never show it." And that's a good thing, because if you live with someone who's discouraged all the time, you'll get that way too. So we need not be discouraged. We should take hope and trust in the Lord. Now our last point, where are we strangers and pilgrims going? And you know the answer to that. We're going home. Today marks the day's march nearer home. And by the way, I like to spell heaven, H-O-M-E. Now, do you ever get homesick for heaven? I do. And we should. We long to be up there in the Father's house. Well, we're going to speak about that Sunday night. It's just wonderful. But have you ever been homesick in this world where you wanted to come here to Spanish Wells, to your home? Well, I don't know about you, but I got homesick when I went into the Army and had to eat that food and march up mountains and down them and do this and do that. I wanted to go home, and I got homesick. And some of the fellows got so homesick, they went over the hill. You know what that means? They disappeared. They went back to Kansas or Missouri, wherever they were from. But then the long arm of Uncle Sam would find them and bring them back again. It's a miserable thing to be homesick. But now, over the hill means something else. It means you're over the peak in your life. And I was out in Seattle about 10 years ago, and I found out I was over the hill, past the peak in my life. I was walking there with two friends in those hilly downtown streets, and all of a sudden we heard a tap, tap, tap behind us. And I looked around, and it was a little old lady with a walking stick. Pretty soon she passed us up with a smile and got way out in front of us. Now, when that happens to you, When you get passed up by a little old lady while you're out walking, you're over the hill. But you know, being over the hill isn't so bad, because it means you're almost home. Back in 1959, my wife and I lived in Albuquerque with three children. One of them that you know here on the island is Mary. And I used to go from Albuquerque back to Arizona on missions to the Navajo Indians. And I would stay for maybe 2 weeks. Then I would head for home, climb into my car, and start driving east, up and down over the mountains and hills. Then it would get dark out, and I'd keep on going. And finally, I'd climb that last hill. When I got to the top, I could see Albuquerque all lit up. I could see the Rio Grande River. I could see the area in which we lived. And you know what? My heart would jump with joy. Why? Because I was almost home. Soon I'd see Maddie and Mary and the boys. And when we are over the hill in our Christian experience or in life's experience, and we're saved or pilgrims, hallelujah, we're almost home. And as I said at the beginning, I have a feeling we're in the last days, and the rapture is drawing closer and closer. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we all went together, caught up, the dead in Christ, putting on incorruption, we putting on immortality, and meeting the Lord face to face to be with Him forever? Hallelujah. As I said Sunday night, together, forever, with the Lord. What could be better than that? Hallelujah. I think it's time to stop. Let us pray. Our God, we thank Thee that when that moment we are saved, we become many things. Soldiers, ambassadors, pilgrims, strangers. And we do thank Thee that we are simply strangers and pilgrims in this world, just passing through. We thank Thee that one of these days our journey will come to an end and we'll be home in heaven. And, oh Lord, it'd be wonderful if we all went at once, that we lived unto the rapture. But Thy will be done. And in the meanwhile, our God, may we live and act and talk and walk like the pilgrims that we are. May we not be conformed to this world, but may we with joy tell others of our wonderful Savior and invite them to join this happy band. Part us now with Thy blessing as we give Thee thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.